The nurse sat staring at him, her expression surprised but otherwise unreadable, as he waited for her to say yes. In the state of mind he was in, it did not occur to him that she might say anything else. He did not imagine, as he would later that night, and in many nights to come, the ways in which he was jeopardizing everything. Instead, he felt impatient with her slowness and very tired all of a sudden, and the clinic, so familiar, seemed strange around him, as if he were walking in a dream. The nurse studied him with her blue, unreadable eyes. He returned her gaze unflinching, and at last she nodded, a movement so slight as to be almost imperceptible. "The snow," she murmured, looking down. But by mid-morning, the storm had begun to abate, and the distant sounds of plows grated through the still air. He watched from the upstairs window as the nurse knocked snow from her powder-blue car and drove off into the soft white world. The baby was hidden, asleep in a box lined with blankets, on the seat beside her. The doctor watched her turn left onto the street and disappear. Then he went back and sat with his family. His wife slept, her gold hair splayed across the pillow. Now and then the doctor dozed. Awake, he gazed into the empty parking lot, watching smoke rise from the chimneys across the street, preparing the words he would say. That it was no one's fault, that their daughter would be in good hands with others like herself, with ceaseless care, that it would be best this way for them all. In the late morning, when the snow had stopped for good, his son cried out in hunger, and his wife woke up.
"Where's the baby?"
she said, rising up on her elbows, pushing her hair from her face. He was holding their son, warm and light, and he sat down beside her, settling the baby in her arms.
"Hello, my sweet," he said. "Look at our beautiful son. You were very brave."
She kissed the baby's forehead, then undid her robe and put him to her breast. His son latched on at once, and his wife looked up and smiled. He took her free hand, remembering how hard she had held on to him, imprinting the bones of her fingers on his flesh. He remembered how much he had wanted to protect her.
"Is everything all right?" she asked. "Darling, what is it?"
"We had twins,"
he told her slowly, thinking of the shocks of dark hair, the slippery bodies moving in his hands. Tears rose in his eyes.
"One of each."
"Oh," she said, "a little girl too? Phoebe and Paul, but where is she?"
Her fingers were so slight, he thought, like the bones of a little bird.
"My darling," he began.
His voice broke, and the words he had rehearsed so carefully were gone. He closed his eyes, and when he could speak again, more words came, unplanned.
"Oh, my love," he said, "I am so sorry. Our little daughter died as she was born."